that you are and all that you do in us and through us. God, would you pray as we come to your word, we come to your throne, we just sit at your feet. And God, may we come and not hear anything except the truth that you have for us today. And God, I just pray that you'll use my words to speak through the hearts, to the hearts of each of your children today. And God, as we worship together, may we bring you the glory. May it all be about your praise. And Father, we pray this in your Son's precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. This morning, as we sort of get off track a little bit, since, again, a couple of weeks before Thanksgiving, but this is our Thanksgiving Sunday. We're celebrating it this Sunday as a church. And so I'm going to gear off a little bit from our Mark study and do a study today that says giving thanks God's way. There's a lot of in our world. In fact, I wish I had time to ask all of you for one thing that you were thankful for last week. But since I've got the mic, I'm going to give you one. I went to the doctors, getting a little sore in my arm, my hands, and, you know, getting a little arthritic thing going on, I thought. And she told me, she said, listen, you don't have arthritis. You have the first stage of rigor mortis. She did not tell me that. For those of you who don't know what rigor mortis is, go look it up, then you'll laugh. But anyway, when we come, we have so many things to be grateful for. And I tell you, every day we wake up, every day we put our feet on the floor, every day we begin to just breathe, we need to be thankful to our God. Because I'm a firm believer that in the sovereignty of God, that there is not one thing, there is not one moment, there is nothing in our world that happens without God's fingers on it or approval to it. And so that being said, you and I, man, everything we have. And one thing I'm realizing, and the longer I live, the more I realize that sometimes we walk away a little bit from the understanding, or at least the believing or living like God is authority in our life. Sometimes we make our own choices without consulting him. Sometimes we do things that really, if we thought about it the second time after conversing with God a little bit, maybe we make it a little different one. But the fact of it is you and I, as we are here today, thanking God, God's way. What does that look like in our life? It would be different, I think, for some of us if we really begin to share the truth of that. It may be a little different because you and I are in different places of our lives. You and I are different places in our spiritual lives. You're different places in what's going on. Maybe you come today and you could say, you know what, I thank God I had a whole week where nothing went wrong. That's a miracle, by the way. But maybe you're here and you just, man, it's been great and wonderful. Man, praise God. But if you're here today and your last week was absolutely miserable, I mean, every day something else went wrong, praise God you're here today. You know, you're alive. And there's room for God to make improvement and corrections in our life. And so when we look at this today, I want to look at it in a way that we're going to go to the Psalms 106 and then Psalms 100. We're going to do 106 first. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me to Psalm 106. We're going to look at it in a way. I'm going to ask you two questions today. Two simple questions with long answers. I needed to say long answers because I don't want you to any anticipation of getting out early. When we look at these two questions, we need to apply them in a way of our reality of life. Because I'm also a firm believer and live long enough on this earth that there are many opportunities for you and I to live what we believe to a world that needs to believe it. And so those opportunities that we have, they come and go in many different directions. They come and go in different days. There's different reasons for all these things. But man, when we look at it, how does God want me to give thanks? We're also living in a world where saying please and thank you is getting less and less. And living in a world where respect and where authority, where responsibility and all those things that most of us were raised with seems to be falling by the wayside a little bit. And so because of that, and because of our diversity of thinking, our diversity of being raised. I'm going to go back and see what God says. By the way, we should do that anyway. I'm going to see what God has to say about it. So turn in Psalm 106. The first question that we come to in our study is, why give thanks to God? Why give that thanks to God? Why is that important to thank God for everything? So in doing this, in Psalms 106, we find this. In Psalms 106, it states that this Psalms is a confessional psalm. It traces some of the Israelites' rebellious activities and God's judgments on them. Well, I thought we were talking about Thanksgiving. We need to understand the context of where this verse 1 comes from. Because in this verse, we have going back and looking at the rebellious nation of Israel. Looking at all the things that they did against God from the very, very onset. From when God put them in slavery and brought them out of slavery into Egypt and put them in the wilderness and took care of them in the wilderness. And they still murmured and complained. How they crossed the Red Sea, they get over and they still complained. And all that God offered them in Deuteronomy, Moses stands out the promised land and says, whatever you do in the promised land, don't forget your God. They forgot their God. Thus, I think, is one of the problems with America today. We are so overblessed and so have everything at our fingertips that sometimes we forget our God. And so all those things being said, all those things being done, we come to verse 1 of Psalms 106. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. It should be a familiar verse with most of us. But as you look at this verse, what are they doing? What do we find in the answers to this? Because what we find is verse 1 gives us three reasons to give God thanks. There's three reasons why you and I, let me say right off the onset, if you and I would give God thanks more for everything in our life, we would give thanks to the people in front of us more. We may not give thanks and all that kind of stuff and gratitude to the people we work with, to the people we face every day, because we don't say it to God enough. But if that becomes your habit, if you're thanking God for the air you breathe, thanking God for the little things in your life, it's very easy then to see somebody do something for you or to have somebody do something great for you and thank them. We don't have a lot of gratitude for the things accomplished in one another. And so when we find this truth, again, they're praising God for his goodness, and then he's going to tell you about all the times we went wrong. There's a reason for that. He wanted us to know, the psalmist wanted us to know and remember that he is good, that he is God, and let me tell you why I can say he is good. Do a study in the remainder of that chapter. You will see God's faithfulness time and time again to the nation of Israel. That's why when we see this, that's why when we understand this to a point of saying, you know, we need to be thankful to God simply because I look back and I can see all the crazy things that I did in life. Now, come on, tell me, you guys did them too. You're all sitting there like, no amens on that one. You guys all did crazy things. You know that saying, I'm old and wise because God protected me when I was young and stupid? Okay. You all have part of that. He's still protecting me, I'll just say that. As we look at this, what God is doing and what God is protecting in our life, there's reasons that we can look back in our life and say, man, God, you are so faithful. You should have been done with me back then. You should have forgot me back then. I am not worthy of doing what I'm doing. God, you're good. That's exactly what this Psalms 106 is all about. And I wish we could exegete the whole Psalms, but we can't. I want to just give you the three things out of verse 1 and challenge you to do a study in that on your own through 106. First thing we find is he is good. And by the way, praise ye the Lord. That word praise is a Hebrew word, hallel, which we get our hallelujah from. It's stated 23 times. It's the very first time you see it in Psalms. is in 104, verse 35. Praise ye the Lord. That's what first, and 23 times after that, they're saying hallelujah to God. When's the last time you got on your knees and said hallelujah to your God? Christmas doesn't count. We sing all those songs at Christmas time, don't we? I'm talking about every day of your life when things are hurting, when things are wrong, when things are hard. You're crying out a hallelujah to God. Why? Because of who he is. You know it. Not, it may not be good in the moment, but because of who he is, it's going to be okay. You need to be praising God, period. Give him that hallelujah. Listen, if you wake up earlier than the one next to you, scream hallelujah at 5 o'clock in the morning. See what happens. Let's rethink that, okay? Anyway, God is good. The very first one, as we see in that verse, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. If God is good, God is good all the time. God is not good because our circumstance is good. God is not good because everything in my day is going well. God is good, period. Because he is good, I'm going to be okay. First reason, God is good. Second reason we find, God is merciful. For he is good for his mercy. God's mercy. Can you just imagine what that looks like defined in heaven? We define God's mercy, you know, grace is the unfavorable grace that he gave us. We didn't deserve it. Mercy is what we do deserve and he chooses not to give us. That's God's mercy. Man, heaven is going to be full of people who have understood God's mercy and God's grace. Because he is merciful, I can look back. I can look back at my past. I can look back at all the bad decisions. I can look back at all the things that I have done wrong for God. I can look back because of his mercy. Listen, I don't really believe anybody in here this morning would be here without God's mercy. We all would have been dead a long time ago. We all would have been forgotten, pushed aside, put on a shelf. No good for God would have been our label many, 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 many years ago. But his mercy said, you're worth it. His mercy says, no. You can still be a part of my plan. You can still work for me. You can still do things for me. Why? Because I said so, God speaking. Because God's mercies. So the first thing is God is good. Second thing, he is merciful. Third thing, he is faithful. Why? Because it endures forever. God's faithfulness doesn't quit. That's why it allows you and I to be here today, to do what we do, to serve God. That's why we thank God. Listen, you did not muster up enough strength to overcome anything in your life. Nothing. You did not make all of a sudden start making the right choices to make your life better. You only have that opportunity. You only do those things because of God's mercy and his grace in our minds. Now, we are intelligent people. We have a lot of good things that we can come up with, a lot of good things we can do. Sooner or later, life hits you. Sooner or later, life hits you very hard. Maybe in your choices, or maybe things you see, or maybe things you've done. Whatever it does, when life comes, you're not going to muster enough strength on your own to be labeled an overcomer. It's not possible. Why? Because we're still tainted with that sinful man. We're still tainted with the way man thinks. We're still tainted with that heart that we were born with. As that born nature, sinful nature in us. And that's that warfare that constantly battles in our heart and life. Listen, I don't know about your battle, but mine's raging. Mine's on fire. And you know what's great about the battle that rages within me? I can walk away from it. Because why? God is good, he's merciful, and he's faithful. Thank you, my God. That's why we give God thanks. The second question that we need to understand is, what does giving thanks look like for us? What does that look like for you and I to give thanks to God? Well, turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is an interesting text. It is labeled a hymn of praise. And as you know, all of the psalms in our scriptures were literally sung or quoted either going up to worship God or coming away from worshiping God. They're called the ascent and the descent psalms. And so when we look at this psalms, this is a psalm of praise. This is how you and I, through scripture, God endorsed, God spoken, and by the way, very, very inerrant. And if God says, this is what I'm looking for, guess what you and I need to do? We need to do it his way. And so let's study this together. It's very, very, it's great as we study. I'm going to read the whole psalm, all five verses, then we'll go back and tear it apart. So as we look at this, first of all, and what does God, or what does it look like for us? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and his sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Isn't that great? Verse 5 is just about the same as 106:1, isn't it? There's a lot of similarities in verse 5 of 100 and verse 1 of 106. Because it's true. Listen, it's got to get simple for me, okay? And simple says, it's true. God is good. God is merciful. God is enduring forever. He repeats that again. But this time, he's not repeating it. Psalms 95 through 99 are psalms that you could read. And as you read through them and you study through them, they're praising and worshiping God for who he is. And so Psalms 95 through 99 are praising God, telling you all about God, telling you all the great things he's done. And now he says, listen, here's how you need to respond to it. Notice the difference, the contrast between the two. 106, God is good, God is merciful, God is faithful. Now I want to tell you all the bad things that I have done to show that. Psalm 100 says, read 95 to 99, and it tells you all the good things of God. It tells you all the great things about God. And now 100 is the result of that in my life. This is how I live it. This is how I want to portray my life. Listen, man, if we could get Psalms 100 down pat in our life, and if we could live this every day in our life, y'all be smiling a whole lot more every Sunday morning, I'm telling you. One person said amen. Man. You don't want to incriminate yourself, do you? I got it. Okay, that's fine. We need to realize. So let's look at this very carefully. First of all, verse 2, verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. This make a joyful noise is a phrase, and again, I'm going to go back to what the Hebrew words and the adjectives and the nouns, they all add into this phrase, but it simply means to cry out, make a noise. Very simple. Cry out, make a noise. So what we find is, do you have a lot of noise in your life? Is it always joyful? Is it always godly? Absolutely not. You need to understand, this isn't just busyness noise. This isn't just commotion. This isn't just confusion. This is a joyful cry to God. What does that look like for you? What does that look like to cry out? And again, we commonly say the next one about singing, one of these about singing, about that is a joyful noise. Our singing is a joyful noise because we all can't get the notes. But you know, when we look at this and understand that we're to shout out to God, cry out to God, make a noise. Listen, you don't have to cry out too hard or too long to get God's attention. God knows. God knows where you're at. God knows your heart. God knows you're hurting and you're not hurting. God knows you're having a good day. God knows everything about you. But what God wants to hear is that you know where he is on the throne of your heart, on the throne of your life. Listen, if you don't have him a priority on the throne of your life, you're not going to cry out to him until the very last minute when nothing else is left. It's a priority. The very first thing that we do to answer this question, what does giving thanks look like for us? We got to always remember to put him priority on the throne of our heart. Because then we'll cry out to him. We'll shout out to him. Listen, I'm telling you, sometimes I used to drive a lot, go to a lot of places. Used to drive a metal truck here and there all down in Roanoke, Virginia, and back and all these kind of things. And I'd have the windows up. And I would be, woo! I would be singing. I would be crying out to God. I would be doing whatever. And if anybody heard me, they would have taken my license. You see, you and I, when we get our time alone with God, man, we got to cry out to our God. It's a noise. It's a spiritual noise. It's our voice. What does God say about his sheep? They know my voice. Do you think God doesn't know your voice? You think God doesn't know who's crying out to him in the moment they cry out to him? God knows our voice. He wants to hear our voice. We got to cry out to him. And I'm going to tell you, the more you apply this to your life, the more you're able to say, you know what? I'm happy all covered in mud. I am happy all hurting and painful. Why? Because this is a joy the world can't give and a joy the world can't take. Shout it out to God. Let him know. Say amen. Oh, got half of you. I'm on a roll. The next one we see. Now, the first one, as we go to Psalm 105, who we are to shout out to our God. The next one in verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve. We are to serve our God. Now, interesting, when I say serve, the first thing comes to your mind is doing, 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 doing. But let's go back and look at this a minute in the Hebrew mindset. In the Hebrew mindset, it has a connotation of serving and doing, but it adds in the Hebrew text, serve as you are a subject to a king. Let that sink in a minute. Would that change your service? Would that change how you serve? Would that change the quality of your service? You know, Kim and I joke around all the time. We're talking about doing things, you know. And one great thing, I'm very thankful for Kim in my life. Y'all be thankful for Kim in my life, okay? One thing she has taught me so well, if you pull the screwdriver out of the drawer, put it back when you're done. It's much easier to find it the next time. Listen, 100%. It was a mess when she started teaching me this. Now that I'm learning, it's not too bad. But we go, for why? Why is that so important? Especially men, please amen this. We think, I use a screwdriver. I know I'm going to use it again tomorrow. I might as well just keep it here. Thank you. Thank you. But that's not how they think. It's all right. It's all right. But see, what that does, you know what that, you know, listen, all of our lives, you and I need to be concerned about the audience of one, and that's Jesus Christ. All that we do for the audience of one, I actually have that on the bottom of my emails. Every time I send an email out, the audience of one. Why? Because I constantly want to remind myself that who is receiving this or who is hearing this, they may not like it. They may not agree with it. It don't matter because I'm here for the audience of one. And you see, when we serve God like we are subject to a king, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Do well. Do whatever you do as if you're doing it for him. Listen, you'll be cleaner. Things will look a lot more organized in your life. Things will be done not because, well, that's just who they are. That's a whole nother sermon I probably shouldn't get into right now. Of listening. listening to people justify that's just who they are. Do you know that's a devil talking in your ear? Because just who you are is a child of God that should submit and serve to the King of Kings. That's who you are. It's not by your genes. It's not by your upbringing. It's not by your experiences in life. Listen, if we live our life because the experience of life have molded us to be just who they are, man, we missed the boat. We missed the fact of what God has raised us to be, what God wants us to be. We are His children, nobody else's. And He's kind of particular about His kids. He kind of sticks up for His kids. He kind of wants to love on them, be good to them, be faithful to them. We just saw that in the verses. So, serving, man, you got to be involved. But that's also your whole life. Serve as you are subject to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I guarantee you, the work you do will look better. The people around you will not understand why all of a sudden you begin to be a completer of projects. You begin to have something that you can continue to look at, and people will look at it and say, wow, that's pretty awesome. I can't believe you did that for that employer. You know what the employer just did to us? Well, you're not doing it for the employer. You're doing it for the King of Kings. Do your service for God. That's how you say thanks. That's how we live out God's goodness and merciful and faithfulness in our lives. Because we're not here for the people of this earth. We're here to show the people of this earth about our King of Kings. How we live and how we perform and how we do it just to get it done. I don't think the King of Kings would like that. Do it over and above and beyond. Do it how you know He would be pleased. Then you can sleep at night a whole lot more sound and peaceful. How do we serve our God? Next one, we are to sing. And this is always a special one. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Now, singing, interesting enough, study through the Hebrew, it is a joyful worship to God. Our singing should be a joyful worship to God. And this is one of the things we need to be careful with the music. Music in church needs to glorify God, not what I'm going to do for God. And I'll just leave it there. Listen to the words of the songs. Listen to the words of the praise songs. Listen to the words of the hymns. Listen to the words that you sing. And if at any time you begin to see that song talks about, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do, you're glorifying the singer. You're not glorifying the God. And it may be a great song. It may be a song you can really get catchy in. I was just sharing with Terry one of my new songs. You all look this up. I love this song. Kim gets maybe a little tired of this. I play it all the time. God can use a broken man. Oh, listen, look it up on YouTube. It's a song that was written by Zach Williams. It's a song that was given to Josh Crabb because Crabb of the Crabb family, they're all in the Southern Gospel quartet music and Gaithers and all that kind of stuff, the Crabb family, he went off the rail, lost everything, alcoholic, abusive, may have stayed at Sten in prison, but he is now coming back under the realms of the grace and the mercy of his God. And he is singing that song. It is unbelievable to listen. God can use a broken man through all his failures. He can make him whole again. That song's praising God. It ain't praising man. There are songs out there where you need to be careful. Because you know what? Those songs, when you sing them, they may not be a good song, joyful worship to God. It may be simply praising man. And I truly believe, I say this in love and very carefully, I truly believe that's why there are many churches falling apart today. Because they changed in their praise songs to worship man instead of God. We need to be careful. I'm not saying, listen, Scripture says sing. We should just all start singing. Let me take my hearing out, ease out first. Making that noise for God. In His presence. His presence. It doesn't mean the only time I'm going to sing is in church or the only time I'm going to sing is when I'm up front doing a special. Sing. Sing in your shower. Most of you probably do anyway. singing somewhere, but it's in his presence. You know what that means? I got to get there first before I can sing. It's another way of simply saying we need to go to our God often. And how do we say thanks to a God? What does it look like? You have a song on your heart, singing it to God every day. That's what God wants. That's what he sees. That's what he expects for you and I. That's how it's lived out in our life. The fourth one, we are to submit. Verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God, that he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Listen, it's not about you, sorry. Not about me. I need to submit to the author and the creator of who I am. What does it look like to submit? You know, ladies, you love that word when it comes to Ephesians 5, right? Submit unto your own husbands. We're living in a day and age where that word submit, I'm not submitting to that. I'm not submitting. I'm a woman. No, I'm not really, but I mean, they're saying, whew. In today's day, I got to clarify this, okay? Man. How do you go from there? When we look at what God is trying to say, it's submitting to him. You want to tell God thanks? God, I'm going to let go of the wheel. You want to tell God thanks? God, I'm going to pray for this child or this parent or this work. I got to walk away from him. I'm just going to pray for him. That's saying, God, I submit to you and I submit to your will. And that's why earlier I said in our prayers, you pray your heart, pray your hope, pray everything you have for God to answer your prayer, but end it with, God, your will be done. That's somebody who is submitted to God. Because you know what? When the prayer gets answered and maybe not the way you prayed, you're still going to be okay. Why? Because you know it was God that loves you, the good God, that is enduring his mercy on you, that is faithful to you all of your life. It's that God that allowed you to go through that prayer answer differently. And you know what that does? Listen, it doesn't take away the pain. Doesn't take away the hurt. Doesn't take away the sorrow. But what it does is it gets you an hope to walk through it. It allows you to move forward with the pain, with the hurt, with the misunderstanding of life. That's what brings us up. Listen, we got to have that. If not, you're going to be stuck in your grief. You're going to be stuck in your pain. You're going to be, and 20 years later, you're going to say, wow, I can't believe it still hurts. I can, because you didn't submit to the God. You didn't allow God to be God in your life. You didn't allow him, the God who mends the broken heart, because you didn't cry out to him. You didn't serve and surrender. You didn't submit. If you don't do that, you will stay stuck in the grief of the world. Because listen, this world wants you to stay stuck. This world wants you to stay, woe is me. This world wants you to stay as Israel, murmuring, complaining. Why? Because you can't serve God that way. You cannot serve God. If I sit up and I said, you know what? Life is hard. I'm glad y'all come here to listen to something. Y'all wouldn't be here. Who wants to listen to somebody preaching complaining and murmuring and all the negative? Listen, how many of you love to sit between two negative people and listen to their conversation back and forth? You know what I've come to realize? I'm going to get in trouble. I've come to realize that negative people will say nothing but negative, no matter how good you do it. So it doesn't matter how you do it. It's not what you did. It's not how you. It's not. They're negative people. They're going to say it negatively anyway. Listen, some of them people, God could be sitting right beside them, and God could be saying, hey, you look nice today. Yeah, but you don't understand it. They complain to God. They're negative. You know what you do with negative people in your life? Smile and say, go get a life. Spend time with Jesus. That's what you do with the negative people in your life. Don't try to convince them. Don't try to go toe-to-toe. Tell them, listen, you really need to get an attitude check. Attitude. attitudes are like flat tires. You don't change it, you ain't going nowhere. You got to be able to understand this. Thank God. It's so much fun. I tell you, you ain't going to get lunch. Submit. We got to get to this next one. The last one this morning, how we are to do this. We are to show it. Verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. How did you enter into church today? How did you come in? What was on your heart? What was in your mind when you came in today? Was it verse 4? Did you enter in with like, hey, how you doing? Great day. Man, I miss Pastor Lee. Good to see ya. I miss that phrase. Now you're all probably going to say it and I won't believe you. But I miss that phrase. It's like, you're actually good to be here. You're actually happy to be here. Man, some of you guys, if you could, I'm going to take a video. I'm going to instill a camera up here so y'all see what I see. And every now and then I'm going to have the guys flip it on the screens up front. You're scary. You're all looking back at me like you want to kill me or something. We need to understand there needs to be some joyfulness in here. Why? Because he's a good God, he's a merciful God, and he's a faithful God. We need to understand what that should do to us. Show it. Enter in his courts with thanksgiving. What do you say to God? We just went through their list. Not only into his courts with praise, that's the same hallelujah that we saw in verse 1. Enter in expecting to hear something from your God. Don't enter in just to fill a pew. Don't enter in just to be sociable. Don't enter in just because the preacher will probably call me if you don't see me sitting here. I'm getting older. I can't remember all that anymore. But when we look at life, we need to realize, how can I show thanks to God? Listen, one of the greatest ways is to enter his presence, thanking, hallelujah, praising him. And listen, we need to get away from the stereotype that if I get too excited and move around too much, they're going to think I'm either nuts or charismatic. Well, either one. Some say they're both. But it's not. You know, we have been so stifled because we are so afraid of being labeled something else that we've lost our joy. We've lost our expression of joy. It's okay to say amen. It's okay to say hallelujah. Listen, it's okay to get a little excited about God. I think I finally got you. We're about done and I finally got you. You see, when we look at all that God is doing in our life, listen, folks, Psalm 100, study it, memorize it, play it over in your mind, put it in your own words. What does it look for me today? What does it look like today if I'm going to praise God? What does it look like for me today, whatever that day is? And then at the end of the day, go back and you'll see his goodness, mercy, and faithfulness because he got you through that day. I'm going to tell you, it's very rewarding because the more you thank your God, the more you'll thank people around you and the more joy you will spread for the cause of Christ. You see, that's what it's all about. Our takeaway this morning, how are we serving in thankfulness to God? Subject to the King of Kings? How does your service, what does it look like? How would your employer say you are at work? How would your friends say you are a friend? How would people in your life describe you as accomplishing the tasks every day? How many things for God are you doing in his house? And I'm going to tell you, this is very, very quick, very short illustration. You know, we went through a government shutdown. We saw how many things were affected, how many things didn't happen, how many things didn't work. It's no different in the church, okay? When people don't step up and help in the church, there are things that don't happen. There are things that don't work. There are things that isn't able to be accomplished. It's very visual what happened to the government and to the people. But don't lose track. It's no different in the church. Listen, man, we need people. God needs his children to be doing things. And I thank Daniel and Amanda, unbelievable. I mean, all the things you see on the screen, other than my sad PowerPoint, all the things that you see on the screen, they're doing, that's their ministry. Terry even pointed build a bridge. And we found out, Daniel, he liked the computer stuff. I'm like, ooh, okay, would you like to? Boom. And you know what? I go home, and I'm like, man, I'm so glad I don't have to deal with that. They got it. They're doing a great job with it. You got a ministry? You got something you want to do? Come ask me. We'll put it in there somewhere. We'll put it in there somehow. Why? Because God's gifted each of us differently to have a service for him. Let's use it. Let's be surrendered to it and submitted to it. The next question we have, how are we submitting in thankfulness to our God? 1 Peter chapter 2, and those who are here on Wednesday nights, we're going through a study of 1 Peter together, and I don't want to belittle that, but 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3, it simply says that we are to desire the word of God as a newborn babe desires the sincere milk. If you have tasted that the Lord is good. Anybody here not taste that the Lord is good? Anybody here realize that, you know what, God, he really let me down. God didn't do for me. God didn't answer for me. God did, and you get this mindset, but the truth is that God is good. It's how we look at the circumstance, how we look at our God in the midst of it. If God is good, and then all of a sudden, one time in my life, he's not good, I'm dumping him. I'm not working for him. I'm dumping him. Why? Because I don't know when he's going to be good and not good, and I can't live with that. All I know is my God is going to be good, period. That's because of who he is. He's a great God. He's more than worthy of my praise, of our praise. He's a phenomenal God that looked down on a wretched soul like mine. And broken men can be used by God. We're all broken. The last thing, are we shouting God's goodness in our everyday life? Are you shouting God's goodness in everyday life? Are people seeing more negative come out of you than positive? Listen, if you live this Psalms 100, you will not be a negative person. Yeah, you're going to get hit with stuff. Yeah, you're going to complain about a few things here and there. But you're not going to be a negative person that when you sit down, the person beside you says, oh, no, I've got to listen to this again. Listen, read their eyes, okay? Read their lips. When you sit down, they look at you and go, oh, you're negative. They don't want to sit beside you. Be the positive. We have to be the positive in the negative world. We can't become the negative, therefore we have no positive. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning. We thank you for the study. We thank you for all that you're doing. And Lord, we realize and know today that there is no way that we can accomplish any of this without first coming to the cross and realizing that we are sinners that need your saving grace. God, when you come into us and you live within us and we submit our heart and life to you, there should not be a negative, disgruntled, unhappy Christian in your world. You've given us the way. You've given us the power. You've given us all that we need. But God, we need to do our part. And I pray in my life, and I pray in everyone's life here, that God, we take Psalms 100 and we just not read it, but God, we prayerfully apply it to our lives. And may we have that positive in the world of negative. And may they come to Christ because of it. God, we give it all to you. In your son's name, amen. As we close our time together.